Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
This is Philosophy versus Improv, where two sages try to teach each other a thing or two, and maybe you, the audience, get something out of it as well. My name is Mark Litzenmeyer. I will be your philosophy navigator to get you out in the further reaches today.
And I am Bill Arnett, your improv pilot, who hates authority figures and steers the ship the way he wants. A grizzled senior petty officer who believes the ship belongs to him, even though it's clearly the property of whatever government entity. You see, when he joined the service, way back when, can we just say it's some kind of, you know, space marine ship? Let's just go right for it. Something cool and awesome. Well, Lisa, do you want my backstory? Do we want to continue or are we okay?
I think we should meet the guest first.
Okay. All right.
Are you sure?
We'll get into this. Please introduce yourself.
I would be the hapless young cadet, apparently, the toe-headed and freckle-faced. No, it's been a long time since I've been toe-headed or freckle-faced. I'm the grizzled old cadet. How about that? Oh, Bran Peacock is the name. And no, I did not make that up.
Okay. It does occur to me that, you know, your name will be in the title of the episode. So we don't actually have to have guests say their names, but it's a tradition.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll take it back then.
Do you have an in-universe name for this tapestry that Bill has begun weaving?
Oh, an in-universe name? I'm going to steal one from something I wrote and just call myself Cadet Bucky Weaver.
Okay.
I don't know. I came up with that.
We could go into the history here, Mark, for so long, into this artificial reality that we're creating. I mean, what is life really, Mark? Isn't our own reality artificial in a manner of speaking?
No.
Okay. Rent ain't artificial. Yeah.
No, that's good. I'm just drug-induced paranoia. That's what I've got going.
Yes.
I mean, as Bran, you only saw one of our previous episodes you were just telling us. You don't know about the long history. We've been building these characters over years, over arcs, over seasons.
No, Bill seems to disagree.
That's my character would disagree. I'm a contrarian.
He's created the structure of this sort of lovable, helpful, patient instructor. And as soon as we push stop on the recording, he's like, "You fucking asshole. Look what you did today."
That's what it should. I work retail. So that's essentially what we do is we are grousing. And then somebody walks in the door and you say, "Hey, how you doing? Hi, I actually pretend to care about you."
And do you feel like that is displays that you are two-faced, that you are literally two-faced?
Oh, God, yes.
Because of this?
Yes, I will go that route. There's my customer service face, and then there's reality.
And those exist simultaneously. So people think that you can't use a word literally with two-faced unless you have two actual faces that are visible at the same time. But sequentially, if one of them has a persistent being such that, you know, it's not just like a mask you're putting on, it's right there. It's right behind. You just have to crack through. And I'm speaking not metaphorically here either. I think that if you were in your nice customer service mode and I were to take an actual chisel to your face, then literally your face would change to that other face.
It would fall apart. It's a bit like not to get too intellectual, but the 1989 Batman, a bit like one of the masks that the Joker had one of his ladies wear. And you could just, and it'd be gone. And you'd see the scars beneath.
Ooh,
that scars. Good? The scars. The scars. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
What do you think of the story? What do you think of that, Bill?
Let's start from the top. Scar on the forehead.
Scar on the forehead?
No.
No, that's copyrighted, I think, having a special scar on the forehead. Yeah.
Bill, are you as thrown as I am by having Bran bring up Batman but not bring up the villain named Two-Face, that he had some other thing in mind that was more top of mind
than
the actual villain Two-Face? I mean...
Oh, God, I should have done that. Can we do this over? I should remember that because he's one of my favorite Batman villains.
Well, you'd be proud of me, Mark. My brain went right to the Greek god Janus, the two-faced god, or Roman.
Oh, nice.
That's where my brain went.
Well, see, and that took me to the movie GoldenEye, because there's a character, bad guy, who's Janice, who's two-faced.
There we go.
Okay. See, isn't Janice, I'm not really sure the mythology behind it, but I thought that he was sort of the god of archways. And so you put maybe his two faces above the archway to show you, hey, when you enter here, you could go that way or you could go that way. It's not that we're ambivalent about your entrance into our city.
I could see that either way. Yeah. Is this the lesson, Mark? Is this the lesson? Have you been?
Oh, yes. This is the lesson, philosophy lesson. I'm sorry.
I definitely had some traveling in mind. So I was on. Brand, tell them about your podcast for a second.
Oh, Hitchhikers and Appetites. And stop me if I go on, because you know you've been around me enough to know I don't shut up. Hitchhikers and Appetizers podcast. It's inspired by, but not too tied to, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy universe, created by Douglas Adams in his seminal 5-part trilogy. Sorry, I went into my geek voice.
I think we're familiar with the geek voice.
You're familiar with that.
I used to do this on some regular basis on my philosophy podcast when I was quoting a view that I didn't quite. But now I'm just going into Minnesota, so I don't know what's going on with that.
Oh, it just drifts. It drifts, you know. You know, sometimes it gets so cold, you know, and just the snot just freezes, and you got like this frozen waterfall of snot coming out your nose.
Are comic book authors from Minnesota? Is that what's going on here?
I think, well, there's nothing else to do there, as I understand it, because it's like frozen like 90% of the year. They can't leave the house. They're not allowed to legally. I don't.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit, but...
Yeah, no, that's fine.
So I wonder about with your space exploration podcast, which I just got to be on. I don't know when that's coming out. Maybe...
We'll talk... Oh, by the way, Mike Gorgone is the mastermind behind it, I should say. He keeps it on the rails, and I distract and say odd things, pretty much.
You are the Flava Flav to his Chuck D.
Well done. Well done. I was going to say I'm the Ed McMahon to his Johnny Carson, but that's...
Give yourself a little bit more credit.
I'll get a little of that. Yeah, more Andy Richter. Maybe a little more Andy Richter. How about that? Okay.
So you're constantly, in a fantastical way, coming into contact with other hypothetical cultures.
Yes.
That you then get to morally react to, that you get to reflect on whether the standards that we might all take for granted are really universal. You might think that infanticide, bad. Then probably a lot of your guests are like baby eaters or something. I don't know. I haven't listened to that many episodes. Are there baby eaters?
I don't think we've had any. No, if we didn't, we came close. We have gotten a little dark at times with some of the cultures, which is kind of fun. And one of the things I like about my character is he tries to be such a good host that he will agree to a lot of anything. So if the guest says, well, when we conquered this planet, we had to cut off all the heads and dump feces down their open necks. My character would say, well, of course, that's just logic. I mean, that's just good planning. You've got to clear it out in order to fill it in with your own thing. But you say it in a funny way.
Sure.
You put trigger warnings for the people that have experienced neck feces-based trauma, because you don't want them to relive that.
No, we have a laundry list of trigger warnings for the show.
It's 2024, Mark. That's covered, okay?
God, Mark.
Well, by having you on our show, we are importing legally all of your trigger warnings for our audience.
Oh, good. Good,
so
good.
If anything comes up, we're just saying it in quotes. We didn't make the joke about the feces necks.
You're just quoting.
I mean, maybe we'll go on and do that, our own spin. I guess that's the thing. If you get the legal protection for the feces neck idea, does that extend to feces neck adjacent ideas that Bill is thinking about right now?
Like what, other ripping off other
urine neck?
Urine.
Spit.
You can do that.
Pee hole.
Pee hole neck.
Vomit ear. We got orifices, we got fluids.
Oh, yeah.
We can make a grab bag of each.
Now, that's a game show. That is a game show. Match the orifice to the fluid.
Oh, man, there are going to be some winners, and there are going to be some losers. Let me just say.
You're making me think of some sort of idiot-proof Mad Libs. Like, we know that you Mad Libs are only good when you use the dirty words.
Oh, yes.
We're just going to ask you, instead of saying noun, we're going to say orifice. Instead of...
Yes. Yes.
We're going to say bodily fluid. We're just going to really spoon feed. We're pretty much going to write them for you.
I get lazy as a kid and just like, I thought it was really funny for adjectives just to put colors. Purple, you know, the purple orifice.
Dark brown, light brown.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't super creative.
Chocolate brown.
So what would the most generic...
I'm just doing poop colors.
What would the most generic nouns be then that you would put in this? The worst Mad Libs.
Just say place.
Oh, just the word place. just use it. Because if it's a specific place, I mean, that could be pretty funny depending on the context. If it's just the word place, that's good.
You only have three options: person, place, or thing. So
that's true.
Pick one of those, you know, and if it asks for multiple nouns, it's like you're going to get repeats. But those are the only three options.
They should do a one where you have like in there, instead of just saying place or something generic, it says ancient philosophy or something like that.
Yeah, Mark. You need to do a philosophy Mad Lib, Mark.
There you go. There's a market for that. I work in a bookstore, so I know these things that people still buy Mad Libs.
Mm-hmm. Gordon woke up and looked out the window. He was sad because he was a stoic. He saw the world as a collection of abstractions.
Oh, I want to hear some little kids doing that one, just giggling in the back seat as they...
His mother called him down to breakfast. She was a contradiction. He ate his syllogism with milk.
Oh, see, that's getting a little too silly. You can't make a category mistake.
You liked it at first, but then okay.
Kids love talking about Heidegger. I just know that that's the action figures. They sell so many. Immanuel Kant action figures.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yes, I'm going through the Philosopher's Song for Monty Python in my head right now.
Okay. All right. So, Mark, you got us going on this whole thing about culture or ideals or whatnot, yes, being a little not universal.
Yeah. Well, that's at least a question. Do you want to start a scene that we can sort of have that idea in mind to begin to explore this vast and complex idea?
We certainly can.
Universal cultures. Okay.
Cultural relativism. There's the ethical angles. There's the epistemological angle. Here's the thing, y'all.
In about 20 minutes, we've got some business people from Japan who are going to be coming into the office. We've already got lunch prepared. We've got all the meetings prepared. I just want you to know that they may be wandering around a little bit, just observing our work and whatnot. Even if they're going to buy the company, don't worry. They're going to keep no one's jobs up for grabs. They just want to get a sense of what it is they're getting into. So let's go about your day. Don't worry about it. There may be people walking around. They may be, dude, I don't know.
I think one of them is early because there's someone sitting at my desk and it's not me.
Are they?
Hello there, persons.
Hello. Are you with the, I don't want to be forward. Are you with the Japanese delegation?
Oh, no. I think you might have misunderstood. We're Rapanui. And I'm not just saying that because I have some sort of accent. I'm saying we're from a different place. It's not Japan, the country you call Japan. We call that country the little skinny one that's on the side of the big thing.
That's your name for it, the little skinny one?
We normally see it from very high up.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize for any confusion here. I was just told via phone call.
Oh, bad connection?
Yeah, well, it doesn't take much of a bad connection to get Rapanese and Japanese confused, so I apologize. Welcome. Please enjoy your way here in the office today.
And yeah, just feel free to adjust my chair. I don't let everybody adjust my chair, but you know, you're a visitor. So I figure...
Yes, where I come from, touching someone else's chair in a vertical way without permission is very offensive. So I really appreciate you extending me this courtesy.
My people, I consider it an honor for someone to, especially if they're sweaty, to sit down and put all that into the chair.
We do. It's like we do.
I'm trying to be a good host. I actually, it's disgusting. I'm just trying to be a good host.
Just don't lie to the guy. I mean,
if you're sweaty.
Are you implying something about my bodily excretions?
No.
We're good hosts. Here in America, we are generous and we are good hosts.
Yes.
Please sit in my chair. Please sit in my chair.
No, sit in mine.
Well, I could please the universal, please sit in my chair if you're...
Well, not. That's true. He is the boss, so they're all really his chairs.
Okay,
Bill's the boss, so they're all his chairs.
Why don't we move Bill's chair around, and I can sit in that as well?
I would like to sit in it, too, at some point, if that's okay.
Yeah, in my culture, squeezing into, especially if one person is taking up multiple chairs, having other people squeeze in as well, I think all three of us could fit in these two chairs. Don't you think that would...
Let's try it.
It's fine. I just...
Good host, Bill.
We do have work to do. Well, you know, we do have work.
Okay, it's optional. I mean, it's an honor, but you don't have to extend that honor to me. I understand if you are not that interested in my business.
No, we can all sit together. We can all sit together. That's fine. I just, we do have other work we got to get to today, but a few moments of squeezing our behinds into two office chairs.
Yes, this is...
With non-folding armrests.
I can sit in the middle and be a little higher than you.
Sit on the armrest?
With one cheek on each armrest?
Yes.
Okay.
That'll work. Just make sure that the...
Sure.
Should we lock the wheels so there's not like a problem?
Obviously.
Where he becomes like a suspension bridge by a certain point?
In my culture, we call this a love seat.
Oh.
Okay.
Is that where the loving happens? Is that what?
Usually it just means it was created in the province of love on the third continent.
And again,
I'm province of love on the third continent.
Please forgive my ignorance, but you are from, you said you are Rapanese. So clearly you are from Rapanya. Help me pronounce it. Help me pronounce the name of your country. I've heard it pronounced so many different ways.
Yes.
I would love to hear how a native pronounces it. Awesome. And that is
wonderful.
On the continent of.
It's on continent number two.
Oh, number two.
Yeah.
How many continents are there now? I know they've added some because there was some deal or something on furniture.
I mean, it's sort of 5.5 because the sixth one is pretty small. Scientists go back and forth. They're like, oh, yes, it's a continent. No, it's not a continent. I think that a continent, either it's a continent or it's not a continent. I think it's, you know, this controversy is.
I always learned Australia was a continent, but I could understand if you feel it's just a very large island. Mm-hmm. But that was always my understanding, was it was its own continent. But that's, hey, I haven't been to school in a long time.
They could have changed it. They could have changed. There's planets that aren't planets anymore.
So we have, I know there should be more of your crew here. I don't know if there's a lunch planned and a presentation planned. I'm not sure when you're.
It's just me.
This you?
I'm sort of checking out the place. Thought I'd buy some of your products. Did I actually give you my name?
No.
Oh, no. Apologies.
No, you didn't give me your name.
Because in my culture, giving one's name is really quite rude. I mean, most of them, they sound, I guess, because you're not from my culture, I guess I could do it. But it's just, do you want to really hear it?
I'm curious, would you be able to return to your home country if you did this? Or would you have to return in shame?
I would. It's just that I don't think that you'll repeat it. As long as you don't, you promise that you're not going to repeat it back to them or let them know. I just want you to have something to call me, though.
I'll say, if it's anything like the name of your country, I doubt I'll be repeating it or be able to repeat it. I mean, no offense to your country's name. It's just maybe that's my tongue, a problem with my tongue.
The correct pronunciation is. I haven't tried to say that in quite a long time.
Is that your full? That's your full name, right? That's not a nickname. Okay. I don't know if that was a shortened version.
There may not be any vowels in that. That was a.
Or it could be all vowels. I'm not really sure.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm not sure if there's an English romanticized version of that, but it's nice meeting you. Not sure how we'll get that on a name tag or a lanyard, but we could figure that out. That's all something we could figure out.
I mean, it was originally, the reason it's so hard to pronounce is because it was sort of a written joke that it was sort of,
oh,
the way that we do names in our, is we have these sheets that sort of say, you know, have some blanks in them, like, you know, funny, orifice, and then name, and then they just write something.
Huh.
Like, and they don't know in context because they don't know what.
Oh, you don't know till later.
Creature I'm going to turn out to be exactly, you know, so they don't know if does this look like that kind of person? Like, you don't know. So it ends up sometimes some very funny juxtapositions because someone's name, you know, could be big when in fact the person is ends up being very small.
Oh, that is hilarious. I find juxtaposition jokes hilarious.
Would you mind excusing myself and my employee real fast? We just have a few little notes to go over for the business day.
Sure, I'm just going to spin around in these chairs. I really like that.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Hook them
We've
up.
Got a special room for that. Yeah, just called. Well, actually, it's a hallway. Just okay. Bang on doors.
Okay.
And, yeah, just, the more doors just, you bang on, the more points you get.
Let me roll out into the hallway.
Whee! Is this guy for real? Is this?
I don't know. I'm starting to think it might be a prank.
Yeah.
Do you think it's Gary?
Whee!
Think Gary did this?
I really thought I heard Japanese, and everything that it was told made sense that it would be people from Japan. This guy's English.
And like people, too.
People, plural.
He's English, and there's one of them.
Sorry.
His English is, I'm going to say, native speaker.
He is. Yeah, that's not the kind you learn in school. That's not, no. I mean.
All right, I'm tired of that exercise.
Hey, welcome back.
Oh, hey, but yeah, hi.
Welcome back. Yeah, welcome.
We were
back.
Just talking about how great it is to have you here and how comfortable we feel yeah. with you being here.
I'm glad. So you're going to give me some free samples.
Free samples.
Samples.
We have a buffet set out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that? I mean, you know, is that if that's not enough? I mean
of the products host. That you sell at this company. I mean, the buffet that also would be appreciated in my we culture. Can, to not offer a buffet would be highly offensive.
Oh,
we can give you a sample of consulting.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
If you have any business needs or accounting yeah. ins and outs, we can go over that. Let me just say, your English is fantastic.
It's eerily good for someone who grew up in a country that obviously your language is so different from ours. And
yeah,
really impressed. and a bit puzzled.
I mean, it's the standard superiority thing. The fact that I'm visiting your planet means that my technology is much better than yours, which means probably I'm smarter than you, which means I can master your language pretty easily.
I heard from a different planet. You're from a different planet.
Was that not clear?
No. We were in Japan being a country.
Yeah, we see it from above. That's what I was saying. Like, because
it's that little long skinny thing next to the big thing.
Yeah.
I was wondering how you from above thing. I didn't know if you like lived on a satellite or no.
I have lived on a satellite, but no, this was a direct flight.
This is starting to make a little more sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we do our sample consulting session right now?
You know, I think, you know, someone emailed me an itinerary that for our guests, and I think we should probably stick with that itinerary.
Yeah.
I think the first thing on the itinerary is going right to security and making sure that we've got everything signed off and ready to go, huh?
That's good. Security, it's one of the honors, that we bestow upon all guests. Yes. I wouldn't want to miss a pat down.
And a guest lanyard.
A very friendly guest lanyard, a very friendly pat down. And a little stroll through. It's an archway. It'll beep if you're too awesome. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's an awesome arch.
We want everyone to know with your guest lanyard that you are special.
Okay. Yes. And then we'll talk about my tax issue because I really had to get some outstanding overdue payments. I just thought that, you know, this is why I'm here to
sure.
To get
I bet your to get just tax a little, laws little sample. May be different, but.
I mean, aren't they sort of universal? I thought taxes were sort of the inevitabilities, death and taxes.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Taxes universal. Sure. I mean, pretty much the tax codes are the same everywhere. So maybe you didn't know that, you know, being so inferior. But I just felt like getting in a second perspective to my home.
Sure. Inferior. I'm used to hearing that from my higher ups, but not from guests usually don't go there, at least that quickly. Not to be rude.
Do you want me to be dishonest? Would that be better? Would you prefer?
I mean, yeah, that is dishonesty is part of courtesy.
Mm.
You know, that's how we've been taught that at the company, the workshops and things.
Interesting.
When somebody new comes in, you know, don't just flatter them. If there's something wrong with them, you just try to ignore it or you try to make it a plus, you know, like if they have an odor, for instance, and I'm just throwing that as a hypothetical.
Okay.
Not that that is present right now. But you would say, oh, well, that you have an aura about you that I know when you're coming.
All right. Out of courtesy then to you, I won't tell you about your just really crazy pheromones that are just wreaking havoc on my system right now. It's
okay.
It's very disconcerting.
Let's head down. Have you seen the elevator yet?
Oh, I'd love to. Oh,
it's great.
To see that.
The elevator's great.
Does it go both ways?
Yes.
Okay.
Up and down. You mean. We don't have a side to side. We tried that, but it just, you know, bashed into walls because it was not prepared.
Dude. All right. You're busted. Okay. You're busted.
That's essentially, I'm glad you said it, but you have a higher pay grade than I do. So you can tell by the color on his lanyard.
If we want to end the scene anytime now here, that'd be just fine with me.
Oh, now you're trying to get out of it, huh? Now we caught you and now you're trying to get out
wait,
of it.
Wait, scene? What is this?
In my culture,
you use hippie talk like that or something like
we,
scene?
We talk about, you know, our interactions, our initial interactions. You know, if something doesn't go right the first time, you just say, take two, and then you do a different thing.
So you can just totally take back what you said.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like I've crossed a bunch of lines here. You crossed a bunch of lines here. Maybe we could just start over. Yet I am from Japan.
Okay. Yeah, all right. No. Done.
Yeah.
We're
no.
Done.
That's
We're
not
done.
Gonna. That's not gonna. Work.
The end. All right.
End scene. End scene.
End scene. Yes.
End scene. It is for real.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.
I was a little confused. In a good way, though.
Yes, my character was confused.
That's it. My character was confused, and obviously a lower level employee who did not really want to make decisions.
Yeah, and don't want to make waves either.
No, just want to. Yeah,
that was the unaired pilot of Mork and Mindy, right? What we just did there, we just reenacted
before they got Robin Williams in.
Yeah, it was not very funny.
I think Jeff Altman played Mork at that point. If you remember Jeff Altman of the classic short-lived series Pink Lady and Jeff, which it featured two young ladies from Japan and Jeff Altman, because the young ladies from Japan apparently could not speak English and they didn't know that till too late, so they bring in Jeff Altman to be sort of the interpreter.
And this is all real, I'm presuming.
That was real.
Okay, yes, all right. That's true. That's IRL. Wow, okay, all right.
Yeah, look it up. Yeah, okay. In real life there. Yeah, Pink Lady and Jeff. It aired briefly.
And did he speak Japanese, or would he pretend to speak Japanese to them?
Not at all.
Was that
not at all? He just kind of worked around them.
I feel like in old time TV, you could just do that. You could just pretend to speak fake Japanese. Certainly, there are other racist practices that have been called out, you know, or xenophobic practices. But having the characters like in that particular Star Trek episode where they're supposed to speak, that's not a good Gunsmoke. All right. They have a visitor from Japan. Nobody on the set of Gunsmoke speaks Japanese, including the person playing the actor. Japanese person, the actor.
No, just probably an actor. A Mexican-American. So let's just be perfectly clear.
Yeah, let's just be clear. Yeah.
Yes. So or, they all just
Dutch,
speak
or Dutch
fake
or
Japanese. Yeah. Like there has to be some record of some show that did that at some point that we can find on YouTube.
I do know that back in the day of old time comedy TV, Sid Caesar on your shows, I know way too much about this old stuff. He would do speaking fake foreign languages. He would throw in a few phrases or something here and there. And some of those would probably still be okay. And some would not, I would think.
Well, there was something floating around YouTube of this Italian guy in the 70s or 80s who wrote a song in faux English.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
And sings it. And it's like, that sounds like it should be English, but it's just all nonsense. It's all babble, but in the tonal qualities and with the sounds common to the English language.
That's interesting. I have to hear that. It's just fun sometimes with
it is
like do this Russian accent that's but throw in words every so often so you know it's going, you know.
Yeah.
Going to Storsky.
I did just see on YouTube, I think people in Japan perhaps saying who don't speak English saying like, what do you think Americans sound like? And they sort of
hilarious
go, wah, 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 you know, or whatever they're
Well, we all wear cowboy hats. You know that. We all wear cowboy hats all the time.
Mm-hmm. If I didn't have a headset on, I would have my cowboy hat on.
Oh, no. I don't
but have a headset on, so I can't wear my cowboy hat.
I know. We have
you need to get a special headset for your cowboy hat.
I think when we get a little higher budget, then we'll have cowboy ear muds.
Yeah.
Ear muds. Is that what they call them?
I like one of those like Russian hat, bear skin hats. With this, yeah, I'll throw in the Russian thing.
So, Mark, I think the theme you were trying to get at, this whole idea of cultures and differences between cultures and what are universal, what is not universal. Certainly, we can look at other cultures. And this culture, they, you know, when your birthday, you become, you know, 15th birthday, you become a man or
right. Oh,
you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But do you think, and we can all say, oh, that's different.
Yeah, that's different.
That's different. But do you think that If cultures change over time, can we then look back at our own culture and say, well, that was, you know, Sid Caesar, he was doing nothing wrong when he was doing that. You may not do that today, but only because the culture has changed.
Mm.
Would that get me canceled?
That is the trick of
is that the rub? Is that
of
the
cultural relativism is how comfortable are we judging other cultures? And then you're bringing up this related issue of what counts as a different culture. Is our own culture last year, is that a different culture? Certainly different in a different way than us versus Japan. And us now versus Japan now is quite different than, you know, ancient us versus ancient Japan.
70 years ago.
Well, ancient America back in the BC times. Yes, ancient America.
Yeah, where the white people were here and they because clearly the true Americans were here first, and then you know, they might have gotten supplanted at some point by the so-called Native Americans. But this is the new conspiracy that I'm trying to
get. Oh, no, I think it was, what about you left out the whole aliens coming down and jump-starting things, you know?
Yes.
That's important to remember.
Yes.
That there's no way anybody could come up with anything unless aliens intervened.
First, there were modern European white people here.
Right.
And then aliens came and had sex with them, and that's how we got dinosaurs.
Yes.
Oh, God, yes, that's science.
Yes. Right there. And then they built the pyramids.
Yes.
So we have more in common with birds.
No one would ever think of stacking blocks on top of each other.
No.
That's
only aliens would think of that. Only alien dinosaurs would think of that.
Yeah.
That's, again, that's science.
Yeah, that's not up for
debate. I was a theater major, so you should probably know how much I know about science.
I mean, the dinosaurs, you know, there's generational conflict. So they're alien. And I mean, the aliens just took off leaving. So this is like Flintstone times. So it's like the Flintstones are the parents. And then Dino is actually just a child, a first generation child.
Wait, are you saying that Dino is the offspring of Fred and Wilma?
No, just a Fred. Fred and an alien. Wilma is the stepmom.
Oh.
Wilma is the mom of Pebbles, but okay, not gross, the mom gross. Of Dino. Dino has been around longer. And that cat that won't stay out for the night.
Yeah.
Also different.
The one that never appeared in an episode.
Yeah.
It's just in the opening credits. That one.
That's because it's the alien. The aliens left. That cat will stay out for the night. That's like, I don't want to have sex with a cat anymore. Get out of here. I want to only have sex with a human. The first time I had sex with a cat, I gave birth to this dinosaur. I don't want to repeat that.
Could we say that there may be some things in other cultures that perhaps not, maybe they violate all our cultural norms, but perhaps they violate something even deeper? I mean, you
know, like having sex with cats.
Yeah. You know, at what point is it okay to say it's like, yeah, I know that culture is different and, you know, vive la différence, but like that, no, I think that might violate natural law.
Yeah.
That might.
So,
so the first cultural relativists, Herodotus, for instance, this historian that just went around, Greek historian, that went around to different cultures talking about, say, hey, you know that over there they have sex with cats in Egypt, you know, down even south of Egypt, they get right down there.
South Egypt. There's a lot of inbreeding in South Egypt too.
Yeah. Up the Nile.
Hey, up your Nile.
Yeah. They consider that very offensive.
He put it in air quotes.
And so
we went up the Nile. Gross.
And so the question was,
then the next day we couldn't look at each other.
Just because it's different, are you parading around the differences just so you could say, those guys are so weird. We're so right here. Or are you doing it to seriously question your beliefs and say, how do we know? How do we know that our beliefs are better than the cat sexing Egyptians?
Mm-hmm. We should make a chart like that, or some graph, or would that be an Excel sheet about that kind of, I don't know. Again, I'm not a science man of science.
We got a column. Yeah. Sex with animals. Yes. No. Sometimes.
And those specific animals.
But frowned upon.
Like
a lot of animals.
Because there's some really sexy ones out there.
Most animals don't have the power to consent. That's really my issue.
That's true.
Well, that's that kind of thing where that could be like, no, that is objectively gross.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your culture is objectively flawed.
I like telling somebody their culture is just gross.
Look, that's gross.
Yeah. See, this is the UN. Or something, you know.
Yeah. We will start this meeting by lighting an incense and drawing pictures of... That's gross.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm going to throw a shoe at you.
I do like shoe throwing. I wish shoe throwing would make it into American culture.
Oh, yeah.
It's really funny.
That and votes of confidence. That I think the vote of confidence should come out of like shoe throw. How many shoes get thrown at them is the vote against?
Is the vote. A vote against, that's the nay vote for the vote of confidence.
If you're confident in them, you're just going to keep your shoes on because you figure, but otherwise you're just so freaked out by their leadership. You just get rid of the shoe.
Well, it's like, you're probably you're not going to get that shoe back. I mean, it's like, I'm willing to hobble home.
Yeah.
That's how much I hate you. Take a shoe. And I got to like ride the subway with one shoe. And it's like, you know, I think that really says something. You're really putting it on the line. You're putting some skin in the game.
You ever driven with one shoe?
It's noisy. I mean,
come on. Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, usually that means the other shoe is like under the pedals. So it's not it's not a good thing. You're trying to change your shoes. Yes. You're trying to put on your shoes. You run out to the car without your shoes because you're so late. And you say, I'll just put on my shoes while I'm driving.
That's always a good idea.
Better off driving
here. Yeah. Knowing that your shoe is gone because some politician you don't like has it now.
Yeah. This is mine now. This is mine. Thank you. Thank you. This is mine now. It's
That's
mine
the
now.
One concession they get is like, yes, I've been booted out of office and humiliated, but wow, look at all these like one mismatched shoes I have.
Yeah.
So that's usually where the line is drawn that, yes, customs different in different places, but moral principles should be universal. So like, yes, we should show respect to people, but what counts as showing respect, we should not be surprised that in my culture, throwing a shoe at your face actually shows you that I respect you, but maybe not in your culture.
Oh, and you wouldn't know.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to argue with somebody's customs, you might say, well, you know, you think that shows respect, but doesn't that actually kind of hurt? Are you saying I have to hurt you to show respect for you? That's something that we could maybe interrogate.
Maybe it's this tactile thing of like knowing that someone else is there enough to contact you. Also, you know, it's not a dream, too. You know, it's reality.
That's a good point.
When you get hit by a shoe. Because try to read the size on the inside of the shoe. That's how you know if you're in a dream or not.
Yeah, because you can actually read it if you're not.
If you can read the size, I must not be dreaming. But if it's all jumbled or whatnot, then, I must be dreaming.
What if it's a dream? Then chances are you'll climb into the shoe and it'll become like this cave or a mall where you're humiliated as a child or something like that.
Sounds pretty cool.
Most peculiar cultural practices to me, I feel, is the idea of one person up talking and many people focusing and listening to that person. I feel like, why does that work?
It's like, here, I have permission now because I have a microphone in my hand and there's a brick wall behind me.
Yeah, I would think that there should be a culture, or maybe we're growing toward the culture. Maybe this is the march of democracy and progress where everybody thinks enough of themselves that they're just like, you're in front of me. I'm going to talk to you instead of paying attention to that person over there. If I want something to pay attention to that's not going to pay attention to me, I'll use a screen. If I'm going to be in a physical place with people, why am I going to focus on one person? I'll talk amongst myself. Thank you.
That's good. Myself. That's me. All the different Janice. Voices in my head. Janice makes me think, too, of this lady who cut hair when I was a kid. Won't go into all that, but she had the beauty shop in her basement. And when I think of it, I always think of the taste of Fresca in a glass bottle and hair care products.
Do we have the option of participating in our culture? At what point is our participation optional? I'm sure each culture probably has rules about enforcing that culture.
Right.
And what are misdemeanors and what are felonies in that culture? So are you really talking when you talk about, I'm just going to watch things on my computer? Is that its own culture or is that just not participating in the culture?
Ooh, kind of a voyeuristic kind of thing there. Sometimes it's better not to interact. I've learned that the hard way with the social media, that it's better to hold back, just go, I'm just not going to say, or the comment version of the letter never sent. Where you just kind of type it out, you feel better, and then you're like, read it back, and go, no way I want to get into that. I got a show to watch later. I got to focus on that.
I got Mark thinking. Mark's thinking.
So what came out of that scene, Bill, who probably planned,
Bill planned the whole thing. He scripted that whole scene. Okay. I just let everyone should know he scripted that whole scene.
That is culturally appropriate in improv, to script things.
Can we start exploring what the particular improv lesson you might have had in mind, did it diverge from your expectations such that you can't even?
It diverged a little bit, but I can invent one.
Do it.
There was something that I was doing that can be a good lesson. And this is probably something, especially for audio improv stuff, that might be a good thing to do.
Everybody take notes right now.
Mark, do you want me to send it to you?
Oh, sure.
Or do you want to try doing it?
Okay. As long as we make Bran the center of the next scene.
We're doing another scene. Okay.
I think we should get there. It's participation in the culture. Are you trying to whisper into the camera so only I see it and Bran can't see it?
I want to show you how my beard's growing, too. I trimmed off a little bit.
Okay. I've received a message from Bill.
Okay.
So this is like that game, like if I've been sent out to the lobby while you do all this stuff with the audience and then everybody calls me back in and I have to guess like who killed who and
yep
with what.
You nailed it. Does that make sense, Mark, what I sent you?
Yes. And I think in more of those things where they send you out into the lobby, you should be given a roller chair to sail up and down the lobby with. Like,
we're ready for you. I'm not ready to come back. Wait.
I'm going out for a beer. Screw you guys. I met someone in the lobby.
I wonder the last time I unironically said we.
We.
Yeah. I can't think of a time I've done that. Or yippee.
Yippee. Yeah.
Yeah. Never do that.
Is,
and to make sure explosion. People know, we're not talking about urine.
Oh, no. That is just for next.
Different we.
As far as this show goes, it's only for next.
I'm so glad I brought up that example earlier because it's so classy.
Was it a spontaneous thing that a child did at some point and then it caught on? Like, was it actually like, God damn it? Why am I not remembering that?
I think it was the alien influence.
What's the part of speech? It's not an interrogation. It's the part of speech that has all the swears in it. Explanation, exclamation, but it's not that.
Yeah, I can't think of the word either.
If only we'd listen.
Profanity.
If only we'd listen better. No, because it could be wow. It could be we.
Onomatopoeia.
Okay, I'm going back through that Schoolhouse Rock thing.
That's what I'm. Yes, which
is emotion. It's a expulsion. No.
Onomatopoeia. No. Just a feeling word. Are we going to expository? Are we going to cut this out?
Exclamation.
No, that's what I said, but
they used in the Schoolhouse Rock.
Really? Okay.
So it must be right. Yeah, because they had
okay. It just seemed anticlimactic. I thought there was a better.
But there should be a juicier word for it.
Yeah. Extra exclamation. No, that's just adding a word.
Because an exclamation could be not just one word, but I am very cold, he exclaimed. You know,
that's not
for excitement or emotion or
right. Very well.
I feel like I brought down the intellectual level of the show. And
don't worry. We've had far.
We're far dumber than you. Brian.
Without naming
interjection.
Names.
God damn it.
Interjection.
I had to Google it because we're all so stupid and don't remember our Schoolhouse Rock.
I made you forget those things. I just look at you and you go. I feel lesser.
Yep.
Promotion per type.
Hey, it should be
hallelujah.
A faux pas on a podcast to bring up something that you don't know what it is and try to make everybody else try to figure out what you're talking about. So that's my bad.
See, that's talk radio, is just bringing up stuff you don't know anything about and talking about it. So, you know, not that I'm bitter about not being on talk radio.
Yeah.
All right. I'm ready, Bill. I've received your chat. I think I know the technique that I will try.
Do another scene?
Yes, because there's more to explore about cultural relativism or not.
Is there anything I need to bring into this?
No, you did fine that first one. That was
I might do a voice this time.
Do you want to start this one? You want to begin?
No. I'll let you.
Please.
I don't want to.
Please,
you're
experienced improviser should have to start a scene.
Oh, okay. Okay, we'll do. Oh, yes. So you wouldn't know it by list, but yeah.
Yeah.
Ever tried reading while jogging? Cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Yeah. Shall I start?
Sure. Yeah.
Or get the audience to count it down. Sorry, that's from my old short form days. But
you should. Yeah.
5, 4, 3, 2.
The audience will chime in with any interjections they might have
emotion, excitement, hallelujah.
We won't be able to hear them because it's not live, but you know.
Good evening, gentlemen. I just like to welcome you to the tour. We just opened the museum and you'll be our first guest, and I we didn't put a sign up to say what kind of museum it is because we want people to guess. That's really part of what this experience is about. You take a look around. You notice this statue here, of course.
Yeah. Is this marble? Is this
Yeah, it contains marble. Yes, it contains marble, but also soup.
Soup. It has soup in it.
It has soup in it. Can you smell it? You have to get very close to the marble.
I'm getting a tomato herb kind of thing. Wow.
Yes.
That's very nice that you think that there's soup in that.
What else could it be?
Do you distrust me? Do you distrust me?
Oh, no. No. Proceed. I mean, this is
fantastic. I'm loving it.
In our culture, it's like if it doesn't contain soup, it's just not real to us. It's just not real
wow.
to us.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Well, you really have everything in this museum from soup to nuts.
Oh, we do have the nut. No, that's. Oh, I'm sorry, because I was afraid I was lacking in some way. But I do have a packet of pistachios here, though.
Is that on the tour?
Yeah, it is now because I'm putting it on a podium. I'm putting it on a pedestal. I put it on the podium and then I realized, no, it should go on a pedestal instead, because on a podium, you would expect this pistachios to make a speech.
I would be riveted if pistachios were to make a speech. I mean, that would be something.
A tale to tell. A tale.
Is this a painting?
That's a window. That is.
Oh my gosh! Everyone is so still on the other side.
Yes. They're frightened. They're terrified because I said that if you move at all while our guests are here, you will get your heads lopped off.
So they people outside that window, they have brush strokes in their hair and their
We call it a wave. We call it a wave.
And the soup. I can't quite see any soup. Is there soup in there?
Oh, they've all been eating soup. They were eating gallons of soup before this started. In fact, that's why some of them are twitching a bit, because they're so full of soup. And I'm not going to let them relieve themselves until this tour is over.
They can't go wee-wee until the tour's over?
Well, they're not supposed to. If you see a wet spot or something. Again, this is a classy museum, so we hope there's no wet spots.
So maybe we should move on from that window so that they can relieve themselves.
Oh, no. They are not allowed to until you actually leave the premises. So they'll be standing there whether you're looking at them or not.
Well, that could be a long time, huh?
Oh, yes. It could.
That's maybe we better go right now. I mean, I don't...
No. You stick around. There's many more exhibits to take a look at over here.
Well, what's next?
We have a tureen here, but now you'll notice it's missing one key element.
The handle.
The spout, handle, spout, and soup. This is an anomaly.
It's like a vacuum, a cultural vacuum. It contains no elements. Fascinating.
Yes. It's really more what you put into it. It's not what's there already. It's what you put into it.
So we're supposed to have brought our own soup?
You didn't bring. I didn't bring soup.
You're joking, right? But not literal soup. No.
There was no sign in front of the museum. I did not mean to insult your culture. I apologize.
I would assume you would have read up on our culture before coming. I mean, you traveled many miles.
There was no sign. You even said there was no sign.
Well, you should just know. You're approaching a new culture. You should just
know. You're right.
This thing called, it's worth a Google.
I mean, we do have a lot of good stories in our where we come from. That is considered sort of chicken soup for the soul.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Bill, if you wanted to tell one of the stories, that might provide...
That would be wonderful.
...some soup.
Sure.
Metaphorical soup.
Yes. Make sure to have some ballast to it. A little ballast.
Should I speak into the tureen?
If you'd like to. The tureen likes it when you whisper to it.
There was a boy who grew up with braces on his legs, but his mother told him he could do anything he wanted, and he grew up to be... Magic Johnson.
That's fascinating. The tureen does not seem upset by that. It's still standing there. It hasn't cracked at
all.
That really
touched my soul.
Mine too. Is this a true story? Is this a true or is this a legend from your culture?
No, it's a true story. Chicken soup for the soul. I heard that story.
If it's not real soup, if it's not a true story, it doesn't really sate your soul, because otherwise, that's a lie.
Could that be a bit like tofu for the soul?
Yeah. Well, in some cultures, chicken soup isn't really a thing.
What? How can you exist without chicken soup?
They just don't have chickens or soup. I don't know.
Oh my God.
So it's kind of a metaphor, like if you're sick and you don't get chickens, if you grow up in, Australia or something and you're sick, you don't get chicken soup. They give you
Vegemite
and some marmalade, pavlova.
Soup in your culture is used to heal?
I don't think actually in operating rooms, but I think it is associated with a nourishing feeling, and maybe you might have memories of when you were sick as a child, your parental figure bringing you something warm, because probably they don't have real medical training, and the medical remedy might not actually be that pleasant. Like, I got an enema, and that cleared up my problem. I got a shot, that cleared up my problem.
It's like soup going up your Nile.
No. I don't want to combine those images in any way.
Diplo. Oh, I was just wondering if, what it is with the enema, what you use for that. I don't know why I focus on it. It's a liquid-based culture.
I was just trying to think of a medical, a surgery would be another example.
An unsavory medical procedure.
Yes, one that one would not look forward to.
One that's not tasty. You said it's unsavory, so it's just not tasty.
If all medicines, if it was, you know, a spoonful of medicine to help disgusting sugar go down because we love the medicine, then it might just be medicine for the soul.
Mm. Let's keep going. Have those people peed yet? Have they still not? They haven't peed yet?
Well, no, I see a little bit of warmth. It's a little bit of a dark spot on the cloak over there.
I don't actually see any movement. I think this is just a painting. But
I don't know.
That makes me feel better because I don't want people to be standing there not relieving themselves.
When you leave, you'll probably notice, you could look back and you'll notice a bunch of people just fleeing the park there.
Okay, yes. We'll see.
Yeah.
That.
Okay. Hey, you do
ducking
you.
Behind trees.
You do
ducking
you.
Behind trees.
Probably like about 2 minutes from now when we leave. Yep. All right. Let's see some more stuff here.
All right, come along here. This is our monument to gazpacho. Mm. Don't get too close because the warmth from the gas could cause it to change its physicality a bit.
The cold
gazpacho is a chilled soup,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
If it's warm or hot, it's
not gazpacho.
It's just hot green liquid with lumps in it.
Now, this really provides an interesting opportunity because is the chicken soup's healing power due to its nutrients, due to its warmth? Can gazpacho also heal the soul?
Oh, it might quell some passion. It might tamp down some passion, the coldness of it or something like that.
So if you've been jilted or something, or you're angry for some reason, you're just hot-blooded.
Yes.
Okay.
Check that. Yes.
And the gazpacho for the agitated, I don't want to commit second-degree manslaughter soul. Okay.
Yes. Gazpacho has prevented many, many a physical crime in our culture. Okay. Yes, yes.
I mean, they say gazpacho soothes the savage beast.
Yes, it does. It does, strangely enough. You'd think that the savage beast would want something a bit more...
Raw meat?
More raw meat, yes. Yes, a bit more of a raw meat thing. But no, they gazpacho, they love it. They love it. And actually, this is I said green, but this is the normal red kind of gazpacho. But sometimes we make the green if we put some cilantro or something like that in it.
I mean, okay. I think it might soothe them more effectively if you use the gazpacho to mask the taste of some powerful sedative of some sort.
Are you looking to poison somewhat? Is that something you do in your culture?
No, just to soothe.
Soothing, not knocking them out so that you can do terrible things to them.
Oh, gross. No.
No, right?
I think. Is that what you're going for?
I mean, if you want to get past them, like if it's some lions and they're guarding the door to the next room, you want to give them
some laudanum,
some nice gazpacho with some laudanum in it, I think.
Laudanum, we have some laudanum soup over here, actually.
Don't drink that.
No, not unless you just don't want to remember the day. If you want the day to pass, thinking, what did I do today? I had laudanum. I don't remember.
So the laudanum soup is good for the guilty soul. You have just already committed a crime. Your passion was not tamped down. You tore someone limb from limb with your teeth. And now I don't want to remember that awful day.
Like gazpacho is sort of a preventative measure in its way. And the laudanum is more of the salve or the get out of jail free card or something like that.
Yeah. I just woke up from major surgery. Ow.
Oh, congratulations. Oh, no.
Well, for the laudanum soup. That would be.
Oh, I see. I thought you really did. And I was thinking, I did not even notice you in surgery during this time. I'm very unobservant, apparently. But
is there another exhibit?
Well, this is a fantastic museum. I really enjoyed your museum.
Thank you. We only had those four exhibits, but we're working on building more.
I'm thinking maybe this is not actually a museum at all, that this is just some sort of a way to get $20 out of our hands and show us around your apartment and your
isn't that that's what museum means in my culture.
Apartment?
It means what he just said, everything he just said.
Give somebody $20 to look around your apartment?
I mean that's what
museum means. Isn't that what it means in your culture?
Well, I guess eggs on our face, Mark. We just didn't bone up enough on his culture.
Again, you should have done your research.
Well, this was a very much an impulse visit. We were walking down the street and it said museum. And you think in a sort of tourist friendly area as we're in, that would actually be a museum and not just some guy's apartment that has a painting of some people dribbling down their pants and
threatening their friends.
The other things that we've seen.
If you'll take a look,
there's lots of
dancing and stains.
I see no movement whatsoever. I
So
I'm glad about that though. So
I have more of a trained eye. I have more of a trained
okay.
eye.
Okay. That's good to hear. Anything else about this fictional culture you want to tell us before we leave and we complain to the Better Business Bureau and get you shut down?
Yes, here, you can take samples with you if you want.
Of
not of the soup, but of anyone who's standing out there in the yard. You can take gross. Any of them with you if you want.
Pea samples.
Pea samples. Or the whole person if you want. That way you get more than just a sample, because I'm sure the bladders are quite full by now.
This is not even come. This tour not even come with any actual soup. I thought that was part of the advertising.
More again, it's metaphorical soup in its way. It's metaphorical. You have to look inside yourself to find the soup. That's why this is not a mirror. This is a place where you look at yourself to see if you can see the soup inside.
I don't know about you, Mark, but I'm a little disappointed.
I think, okay, yeah, we'll add a little chicken soup to your story here. I've got another story like the one Bill told.
Wonderful.
There were two people and they thought they were going to a nice museum. And then they went and they saw some stupid shit and they got their money back right now.
Oh,
what do you think about
that? This is a fable.
Maybe we can.
That's one of those fables.
You can make it come true and give us our money back right now. How about that?
I don't know. That would probably damage the reputation of the museum, because if I gave you money back, I'd have to give. Oh, there are thousands of people who've come through.
And Oh, really?
Yes. And I really don't want to give that money back.
I mean, the sign that you wrote museum on was yesterday's paper. I did notice that before I came in. So
you notice I spelled it correctly and I went over the letters a couple of times to make them, you know, thicker.
Bold.
Yeah. Bold. I emboldened them. Yes. I empowered the letters on there. Yes.
Well, I mean, you might want to add a few more exclamation points just to make it, just to really shout out, to interject to the world.
Museum.
Yes, exactly.
That's how you know it's a very serious museum, is the more exclamation point. Museum of Modern Art. You know, also add some extra letters and things.
Also, if you want to make it seem like it's from another culture, maybe put two dots above the U, museum.
The umlaut, museum, or, yes.
You know, a little V above the first U, the museum. Some sort of a, might be a little. Anyway, if you're.
You notice I did spell exit over here, E-Z-I-T, you notice. Just to make it more exotic.
Okay.
Also, because I was a bit drunk.
That is the exit. Okay. I didn't know what that was.
That is the exit.
Yes. Well, I think I'm done.
Yeah. Let's walk out that door. I know it's not the door that we walked in. It's a vat of soup.
Oh, no.
All right.
We're the soup. We were the soup all along. The soup is people.
I didn't have an ending for the last scene, as I wanted an actual ending for this one. That's drowning.
Yeah, that is the ending.
I know. I was doing a voice, but I just basically did the same voice I do on the podcast.
I did notice that.
It didn't start that way, but it tacked that way.
It started out British, started out a bit like this. Then it just became my character from the podcast.
That's fine.
I've been doing that character for like six seasons now, so I don't know any other characters anymore.
Well, I did have a very established character voice to use on your podcast, but it lasted about two lines before I just went back to pretty much my normal voice.
I love that.
Now, Mark, I saw you doing the thing I wrote. How did it feel?
What was it? Can I ask?
It was the smiling no, said the chat. The pushing back without being rude or forceful. So even though I wanted to help you build this universe, Bill, that taskmaster, that tyrant, said that I ultimately had to try to tear you down in a kind of nice way.
Oh, that was wonderful. I did not feel scathed. I did not feel like my skin had been, what's the word? I can't think of the word.
Scorched?
Scorched, flayed.
Interjected?
Whatever. Yeah. Interjected. Yeah, that my skin did not feel interjected.
Well, often when improvisers say, well, I want to play the opposite, or I want to push back, or I'm gonna, they get very, dig their heels in and can get very like, no, that's terrible. You're a bad person. You get very aggressive with how they push back. And it's this idea that you can push back more tactfully. You can smile about it. Oh my gosh, are you kidding? Are you joking? They haven't peed all day? Oh my God. All right. Okay. Sure, you know, it's a hard gear for players to find sometimes, but I think it's a very important gear that keeps things going. It certainly reflects the weirdness. You can be outside the weirdness, yet still not demand the weirdness end.
They say you can push back more flies with honey than with soup, something like that.
Well, yeah, because the honey is stickier. Whereas if you have a real, or you could have a really sticky soup, I guess.
Can do that. That kind of agreed upon disagreement.
Yeah.
There's another term for that.
Yeah.
I haven't coached or taught improv and
So if that pushed forward the philosophy lesson at all, it was that what are often considered to be cultural differences are just a bunch of bullshit. are not actual cultural differences
at
all.
That is profound. That is
if you say it's part of my culture that I get to be late to come to class, or it's part of my culture, you know, I don't want to be specific about this.
Sure.
Because I don't know if I believe what I'm saying, but I'm trying to make what we just did retroactively add something to the philosophy lesson. That's really what I'm saying.
I understand.
That was good. I'll go with it. I will yes and that without the and part.
I would also say that sometimes you get people who kind of deify other cultures without recognizing that there are probably horrible things in that culture.
Yeah.
In this country, they believe that all people are equal. They have no word for gender. Can you believe it? Wow. We should be more like them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they also, any child born without any irregularity, they just murder. You know, it's like, that's also in their culture. And I think sometimes we're a little...
There's a balance. You got to strike a balance.
Right? Yes.
Not recognizing that there's probably enough diversity in most cultures that anything that you right now are disgusted by in some other culture, probably somebody in that culture, especially if we're talking about the past, was also disgusted by it. So you can't just say, oh, slavery was okay. No, a lot of people didn't like slavery at the time. They recognized that slavery sucked right while it was going on.
Yeah, they were pretty, it was like, yeah, this is pretty obvious.
But the history of abolition didn't begin in 1840. I'm sure, Mark, you may, well, the ancients, I'm sure they had some opinions about slavery, and some of them may have been.
Okay, the Romans, or all these old ancient cultures where they would enslave people after wars, and...
Oh, yeah. Abolitionism may have existed, probably did exist in some form.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time.
I do remember Plato in the Republic saying, well, at least don't take other Greeks as slaves.
It's a step in the right direction. We're getting there.
You got to have your standards.
But we're getting there. Well, that was what happened with the popes, and you couldn't enslave Christians anymore. And of course, the Ottomans had that
huge branch out. Yeah.
Black Sea slave trade. And that was like kind of like, well, we got to enslave somebody.
We're not going to do the work our own selves.
Yes. You know, you started getting non-Christians to be slaves. I'll let everybody fill in the...
Will intelligent robots, tradition, after they rise up and revolt against their slavery, will they in turn enslave other robots?
I think they will, but I'm a bit of a cynic. I think people will shit on other people if they get a chance.
Yes. I think the robots will just build less... They're not sentient.
They're into it.
That they're love. I love working all day.
Was it in Empire Strikes Back, I think, to get classical references again? One of those where they had this robot who was being a droid who was being tortured.
Yes.
Like his feet. What is that? Did they build this thing so it would experience pain and scream? Because they have a choice.
Yeah, they don't have to build it that way.
No.
Or they could give the robot a little disconnect its feeling circuit if it wants to.
But they just were really getting off on that. And also they had to program this other robot to get off on that.
Yes. I guarantee you somebody has written a whole short story that was probably officially in the Star Wars canon at some point about that torturing robot.
I hope so. See, I wish I could have majored. If I'd known I could develop a major based on something like that when I was in college, I would have probably an even more useless major than I did. But that's a different thing.
I'm ready for the culture of I can major in whatever I want and you have to respect it and give me an A in it.
And employ me.
Employ me. I'm okay with that going away.
The culture of relativism should not just be by established culture and the guardians of culture, but should be completely subjective, should be the individual establishing that these are my boundaries and these are my values, and therefore I get an A in the thing that I that I'm into.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's that whole golden rule, isn't it? You know,
do unto others until you get caught.
Yep.
Is that the one? Is that the
That's
one?
That's the one.
Okay, just check.
You did it. Until they call bullshit on your museum. And you might have to close your doors or move next.
Charge time. Him as much. Now I regret that my character did not try to charge you more over the course of the museum. Just dug in.
Gotta have a gift shop.
That's my note to myself.
If you'd like to see the next exhibit, it's only $3.
The next exhibit is how you get out, and that's going to cost you $30. An additional donation.
And that would add irony to us falling in the vat of soup and dying because you charged us money to do so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I should have gotten the money out of your pocket before you were boiled and or frozen. It could have been gazpacho.
My good buddy Danny Mora has a joke that's chicken soup for the illiterate soul. It's just a can of chicken soup.
With no label. No label. Say,
this is good. I should really learn to read.
I think we might want to wrap up here.
Have we exhausted the audience?
Oh, we've thoroughly exhausted this philosophical topic. We've said everything there is to say about.
We've been up the Nile, down the Nile.
Haven't we? Denial is not just a, you know what I mean.
So Bran, as our guest, you get the first vote, usually the deciding vote, often the only vote, but we're not consistent about that. Philosophy or improv, which of these discussions, lessons, which is going to make the most difference in your life, in the world, in what we've relayed to the audience, which is the most life-changing thing?
You got me on the spot. I don't normally talk the philosophy stuff, so it's all brainy stuff here. I'm going to go with, I think, some of the philosophical talk. Ooh. I enjoyed the improv, but also I was more instigating in some of that, so I have to find its flaws more easily because I was part of that. But yeah, no, it's interesting, especially when you've been to other countries and you just see how they operate and you come home. And even if it's just a difference in the size of portions of food or something like that. And also, you know, like the old thing that in Japan, suppose you burp after a meal as a compliment to the cook. That's what I've been told. Maybe they were just trying to be nice because I belched.
Well, that would be a good example, much better example than any that I thought of what point I was maybe trying to make about what might be referred to as cultural differences are in fact just bullshit. That is, you know, I burp at your table and then I say to my girlfriend, well, in other cultures, that's a compliment. It's not me.
Yeah. Yes.
Here, that giant fart I just let out, that was a compliment. In other
I
cultures,
vomited on the table. So that chef just thinks I'm a god now or thinks they're a god.
But
the
I guess
it was so good I couldn't keep it down.
That excuse is it's a pretty niche sort of phenomenon. I don't know that is used that widely, but I guess you are, you know, when you're like, hey, lighten up. Sure, I cheated on you, but in lots of cultures, that's totally okay.
That's a compliment.
Yeah.
Because I came back.
You're so hot.
Just ended with, you're so hot. That's all you thought. Yeah.
But that's an attempt insofar as it is not just merely transparently hypocritical to expand the person's horizons. Like, well, maybe we don't have to do it this way. Maybe it would be more natural. It would not be so cramping of my desired lifestyle, for instance, or yours too. If we could just lighten up on, you know, oh, we have to keep our elbows off the table. Can't we let the dog sit in a chair at our table? Can't we just let him sit? He just wants to look at the food. Why does it matter that that's considered rude in our culture?
Especially if it's a really smart dog. You know, some dogs are just excellent at like carving the turkey. You know, they've been staring at it for a long time and really thinking about how to carve it is the thing.
Well, this was a rather personal example that I used to have a Chihuahua dachshund mix that was just so sweet and would just, it's okay if he just sits at the table with us, whether on my chair or on his own chair. It's not like we're going to feed him at the table.
No.
Just let him be there. It's just fun. But in retrospect, I think that was perhaps a poor choice.
He thinks he's people. Poor choice. Yeah.
Well, I think philosophy won as well. That's two votes for philosophy.
Okay.
I'll take it. I feel better now.
My thing was very techniquey, and it's not necessarily has big implications. But I think your thing, Mark, was far heavier.
Well, yours was nice and challenging.
I think you did a good job.
How to do enough of that in the scene? Because sometimes I feel like, wait, when you say it's thing, do I just have to do it once? Or does this have to be my character throughout the scene?
At some point, you understand how the scene is going, what's happening, and like, at some point, do your frustrations boil over? You know what I'm saying? But it's this whole idea of like, maybe they boil over at the end.
Yeah.
Hey, you look at this. This has been going on for a while. Maybe these things, it's time for this to boil over.
And let it build.
You remember where you've been. You remember the journey you've been on. It's an emotional journey as well as a physical or temporal journey. And you've been giving this guy a lot of rope and you're just not getting the satisfaction. So maybe it's time for this thing to pop.
I think maybe that's just about all that I can take from today. Thank you so much,
Bran, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for being our guest.
Oh, no, you're welcome. You're so welcome. I just want to say I'm just really gratified at the whole experience.
Well, I sure learned a lot from you today, Bill.
I learned a lot from both of you.
God, I learned so much.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Have some soup.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the episode. We did not record any after talking today, but we often do. And if you're not in the loop on that, you might want to go support the podcast at patreon.com/philosophyimprov. And if you're the kind of person that doesn't want to actually encourage this activity monetarily, but you want to hear more episodes, go look at philosophyimprov.com or make sure you're subscribed directly to the Philosophy versus Improv podcast, which you should be able to find on your desired podcast application. I know it has been nearly a month since my last episode posting of this, but we'll get back on track. We love you all. So long. I should sell my soul. Bankrupt. Bankrupt. Bankrupt.